Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, let me remind you that if you have a question of a spiritual nature or a question about anything you hear on BBN, we can chat about it. Click bbnchat.org.
In the midst of Teen Week on Conference Pulpit. This week, our Conference Pulpit speakers are dealing with issues teens face or will be facing as they enter their college years. Our speaker this evening is Jim Shetler. He is Vice President and Dean of Students at West Coast Baptist College. Dr. Shetler served for 25 years ministering primarily to young people through Christian education before serving as pastor for 6 years. He teaches Bible, counseling, local church discipleship, youth ministry, and the Christian home. Dr. Shetler's excitement for the Lord and heart's cry to bring the lost a saving faith in Jesus permeates his preaching and outreach. He will teach us this evening what God's Word has to say about victorious Christian living.
Take your Bible. I am so excited about today, because to me, camp all builds, and today's the big day. Young people, you make some decisions today. You're going to get some help today that'll help you the rest of your life. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter number 6, and I want to show you a picture. It was about 3 years ago, we had a little problem with mice in our house. Well, actually, they were in the garage. And I said, okay, so Marilee said, Jim, we got to get some traps. I said, all right, we'll do that. So we got some traps, and then we put the peanut butter on them, you know, because that's what gets them. And we put them out. Well, I came out one morning into the garage, and I couldn't believe what I saw. We caught one. But it was amazing when I saw it, how we caught it. All these traps were far, far apart. The mouse is licking the peanut butter, and snap, it gets the mouse, okay? Tried to get out of there a little bit. He drags the trap that he's caught to over to another trap only to lick it to get snapped again. And we would say, okay, that's a little stupid. But no more stupid than you in going back to the same sin that has caught you for ages. Gang! You say, but Brother Shetler, by the way, why does he do that? It's his instinct. It's his nature. I got to have that peanut butter. I got to have that peanut butter. I got to have that. He's got a trap on him. He had to drag that trap at least 10 to 15 feet over to another trap to get caught in it again. Young person, that's not the way we want you to go home. We want you to go home victorious. We want you to go home and see victory in your Christian life. I came out to the garage and I saw that. I went like, that is unbelievable. Why would you go to another trap and lick the stupid peanut butter off that trap after what just happened? Young person, let's go back and be victorious. And God's people said, amen. All right, take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we're going to show you how to live victoriously. All right, Romans chapter number 6, there's three things I'm going to give you today that will help you. You're going to realize your victory, you got to respond with your step of faith, and you got to repeat it over and over. And we'll go through these three things, but these will give you victory for the rest of your life. Romans chapter 6, we'll begin at verse 3, we'll read through to verse 8, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started this morning. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. You know what? I do know that I'm a pretty long preacher. I do. And sometimes I go like, but Lord, I don't know what to cut out. There's just everything. I just got to get it in there. I want you guys to know, I know my messages have been long, but I appreciate your heart to receive them. I really do mean that. And we've just, you know, I get one shot at you guys. I may never see you again till glory. And I just got so much to give you. So thank you guys for being the best listeners listeners ever. And I really do mean that. You guys have received the word so well. Romans chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized. Okay, stop. Let's look at the word baptized. All right. So I teach all my Bible doctrine students this. Never see the word baptized and not think of this word. I say baptism. You say identification. Okay, here we go. I say baptism. You say identification. Okay, so on my finger, I have something. What do I have on my finger, everyone together? Ring. What kind of ring? A wedding ring. Okay, so if I, which I may not be able to do today, if I, it's coming, if I, don't clap for me taking off my wedding ring, okay? If I take my ring off, my wedding ring off, everyone together, am I still married? If I never wear this ring again, am I still married?
Yes.
Would it have been possible to be married to Mara Lee for 38 years and never wear a wedding ring?
Yes.
Then my question is, why do I wear the wedding ring? Baptism means this identifies me as a married man. This shows that I'm married to the greatest woman in the world. Guys, listen to me now. What has happened to you in Jesus Christ? By the way, if you've never been water baptized for the profession of your faith, you need to do that because baptism is identification. You are making a public identification that Jesus Christ died for me, he was buried for me, he rose again for me, and now I want to walk in newness of life. In obedience to the Lord's command and upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. If you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, get home and take that step. Because it's a step of, hope you got it, it's a step of identification. You're identifying publicly. Now, something happened to us spiritually. We got identified with Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came in and identified you. You ever heard this verse before? If you know it, say it with me. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet, in the life that I now live. Yeah, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, good job, good job. All right. Now, Paul never wasn't crucified with Jesus. He wasn't one of the thieves on the cross. But he said, I am crucified with Christ. How did he do that? He did that by, let's see how well we're doing this morning. He did that by
identification.
He did that. He was identified because the Holy Spirit came into his life. Now, you got to understand that because your victory for the rest of your life is tied up to Christ's victory over the grave, okay? So you got to keep this. You're identified with that. Okay, know ye not that so many of us as were identified into Jesus Christ were identified unto his death, baptized. Therefore, we are buried with him by, everyone together, identification, good, into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, bingo, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If we died with him, then we got to rise with him. And can I just tell you one thing about that? Boy, this is going to be a challenge this morning, but I'm telling you, this is good stuff. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Hey, gang, death hath no more dominion over him. Look down to verse 13 really quickly. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Stop it, guys. Stop presenting your bodies, your sin, your eyes, your ears. Stop giving your body over to sin. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God, but present, yield, surrender over yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Father, I pray today that we will have an army of soldiers that goes back to their homes victorious over sin. Father, that's the place that they have. That's the position that they have. Lord, may they be able to go from their positional truth to practical experience. We'll give you the praise and the glory for it. And Lord, I pray that we will be practical, we will be helpful, and may the seed fall on good ground. This is some of the best material ever. But Lord, the seed's got to go on good ground. They've been given a lot. May they listen well today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, now, August 16th, 1980. I am at Cedar Hill Baptist Church, Cleveland, Ohio. In walks the most beautiful woman that has ever been on this planet. Mary Lee walks down the aisle with her dad. August 16th, 1980, Cedar Hill Church, Cedar Hill Baptist Church, Cleveland, Ohio. She walks down. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She comes down. Dad gives her over. He does a long speech. It was pretty cool. He gives her over. She comes on up and we say these vows. I'm doing a wedding tomorrow, by the way, for 2 college students from West Coast. They're getting married over in Texas. And I'm doing a wedding for Josh Young and Bethany Pigeony tomorrow, 2 of my students. But anyways, so Mary Lee comes, and we say these vows. And I say, I do, I say, I will, I da-da-da-da-da. We hold hands. We wrote our own vows out. We memorized our vows. And don't ask me to say them right now. But anyways, but we memorized our vows. We made a covenant with God. We made a covenant with each other. And on August 16th, 1980, Jim and Mary Lee were married. The next day, I woke up. Walked around the motel, the hotel. I got up early. Walked around the hotel. Pinching myself. I don't feel married. I'm like, what's the difference between yesterday and today? Well, Jimbo, you are married. Now get this. Start acting like what you now are. You are now a husband. Well, yesterday I was not a husband, but today I am a husband. Yeah, you got a different position now, Jimbo. So now start acting like the position that you have. Young person, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a child of the King of Kings. You need to start acting like what you are. You have a position. Your position now needs to have practical experience to it. You need to believe what you are. January 19th, 1983. I am at Baptist Hospital, Pensacola, Florida. After 24 hours of labor, my wife delivers a son. I hold that son in my hand. I cut the umbilical cord. I hold that son in my hand, and I have just become a what, everyone together? A father. I have just become a father. That, I think, was the most sobering moment of my entire life. More than the day I got saved, more than the day I got married. Holding this little bambino in your hand, realizing that that life of that child is in your hand, the responsibility was amazing. I had just gotten another position. That position was now as a father. Hey, I got to tell you what. April 1st, 2013, I became vice president of student affairs at West Coast Baptist College. Previous to that, for 25 years, I had pastored 2 churches. Now, I'm vice president of student affairs. Jimbo, let's do it now. Your position is vice president. Start acting like it. Your position as dean of students, start doing it. Okay, you got a position. Now you got to practice the position that you have. Young person, you are in Christ. Start living like the position you have. You see, okay, well, you can just say that all you want, Brother Shuttler, but I don't feel that. Remember, gang, feelings make great engines, but terrible. Amen. But terrible. Stop living by your emotions. Brother Shuttler, did you ever feel like you weren't a husband? Yes. Did you ever feel like you weren't a dad? Yes. Did you ever feel like you weren't vice president of student affairs? Yes. But I am. So you got to start acting what you are. Guys, you got to go back and you got to start believing you've got victory in Christ. You've got a number one. So here it is. You're taking notes. Number one, realize your victory in Jesus Christ. Okay, so you say, well, so I got this victory. What does it really mean? Young people, Jesus rose from the dead. You have resurrection power. Yeah, but I'm struggling with lust. I'm struggling with worry. I got problem. Guys, he rose from the... You know what? I don't think you guys catch this. Kyle, can you come and help me for a minute? Kyle, come on up here for a second. I need your help for a second. Kyle, I got two cinder blocks over here. Would you pick up these two cinder blocks? Okay, so I don't know how many of you know Kyle or not, but I don't really know Kyle that well, but we're going to find out something about Kyle. We have not practiced this, have we? Okay, so here goes. Kyle, I'm going to ask you, but wait now. Okay. I'm going to ask you to take those two cinder blocks and put them up over your head, okay? Honestly, guys, we have not practiced this at all, so I don't know what I've just done here. You will absolutely ruin my illustration if you don't do this. But how many of you believe that Kyle can put those two cinder blocks in one motion over his head? How many people believe that? You know what? You got a lot of... Look at all these guys don't believe in that, okay? Hey, I'm with you guys. I think we need a little cheering going on, okay? So here we go. Are you ready? Start your 3, 2, 1. Let's see it. Woo! That was a little bit of a, you scared me a little bit. Okay, all right, put those down because that's not the test. You listen to me. Jesus Christ conquered death. And young person, if he conquered death, he can handle anything else in your life. Amen. Now you hear me, young person. Some of you are living defeated lives. He rose from the dead. And if he rose from the dead, there is no stinking sin in this auditorium that he can't take care of. He conquered death, young people. Let's give Kyle a hand. Good job, Kyle. Good job. I'm telling you, young people, the first thing that you got to do is realize you're victorious in Christ. You've got to see that your position in Christ becomes practical experience. I just sense you guys are still struggling with this. So here goes. I believe it was 1991. It might have been 1992. I'm watching this TV show called 2020, and there's a woman that's interviewing an athlete. Well, he was an athlete. Her name is Barbara Walters, and she's interviewing this athlete, and she's interviewing this guy. His name is Dave Dravecki. Dave Dravecki was a left-handed pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. He won the Cy Young Award, I think in 89, somewhere around there. He won the Cy Young Award as the best pitcher in the National League. Dave Dravecki got cancer, and that cancer took him out of Major League Baseball for a year. After the year, they believed they got all the cancer. And he began to rehabilitate, and he comes back to the San Francisco Giants and begins to pitch again. He has a really good spring training. He goes in, he wins his first two games. He is starting in his third game against the Cincinnati Reds on Riverfront Stadium. Some date in May, and I can't remember the date right now. Dave Dravecki goes to the mound. It's like the third inning. Dave Dravecki pitches a pitch of which They still say today that every person in Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati, Ohio, heard his arm break. He falls to the mound. They come out. They take him out in a stretcher. They do x-rays and find out the cancer has come back with a vengeance. They have to amputate his left arm. This was probably the best young pitcher in the major leagues back in the very early 1990s. He now has a beautiful wife. He has a few children, and they are interviewing him. One other really cool thing about Dave Dervecki, he knew Christ as his Savior and knows the Lord as his Savior. So he's given this incredible testimony to Barbara Walters about, you know what? It's not about baseball, it's about Jesus Christ. And it was just like, this is so cool. But then I saw something. Dave Dervecki says something, and I got to tell you, in all my life, Barbara Walters interviewed a guy named Norman Schwarzkopf one time, who was the general for Desert Storm, and I saw her cry for that. This was the only other time I've ever seen Barbara Walters cry. She asked him a question. She said, what is the hardest thing now that you're dealing with in your life? Well, we're all thinking it's going to be that he's not a major league pitcher. Here's what he said. He said, Barbara, the hardest thing for me, and you could see his wife, they get the camera on his wife, she's got tears coming down. He said, let me tell you the hardest thing. I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning with unbelievable pain in my left arm that doesn't exist. Now, if you're in the military, you know what I'm talking about because it's called phantom limb. That if you take a finger, you take a foot, you take you amputate an extremity of the body, the mind still can feel it. Dave Dervecki says, I'll wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning with excruciating pain in my left arm that doesn't exist. And I've got to say, it's not there. It's not there. It's not there. You know what the biggest problem you guys are struggling with in your spiritual lives? I'm telling you. It's called phantom limb, phantom spiritual sin. You guys think you're still alive to sin that you have had victory over through Jesus Christ. And some of you are going to go back home. I just can't win it. Guys, you've got the victory. Christ rose from the dead. If you are going to live a defeated Christian life, God can't do any more than give you the victory that he's given you. Guys, you got to realize that you are victorious over sin. You got to believe that you have victory over that sin. That's step number one. Step number one, realize your victory. Everyone together, what's step number one? Great. And step number two, respond with your step of faith. Okay, now you got to do this. Okay, now that you got, okay, Brother Sheller, you know what? I think I'm believing you. I do know that's what the Bible teaches. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. This thing here that I'm identified, Jesus died, I died, Jesus rose, I rose. Brother Sheller, I think I really do believe that. Okay, now you got to respond. You got to respond with a step of faith. You got to do something based upon what you believe. Because you know you're victorious, do something victorious. Respond. You say, Brother Scheller, I'm not positive I understand this, okay? Try to help you again. I had three boys. I taught all three of my boys how to ride a bicycle, and we did it in 20 minutes. We went to a flat dirt like field, all three boys, and I used the same Schwinn bike. We take the training wheels off. After a few weeks, they were doing the training wheel thing. I said, boys, it's time to learn. Now, I didn't do it all at the same time because they were different ages, but I took each one of my boys out at three different separate times, and I get them on there, and I said, okay, now, guys, here's what you do. Ben, I'm going to give you a push, and when I give you a push, I need you to start, everyone together, I need you to start I need you to start pedaling, okay? So here we go. Here we go, Ben. 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 Go! Go! Boom. Oh, man. Ben, what'd I say? Pedal, Dad, pedal. Yes! Ben, you got to pedal.
You got it, Ben. Let's try this again. Let's try this again. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Go, Ben. Start pedaling. Start pedaling. Just, you know, just moves the little thing. Okay, Ben, 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 pedal, pedal, pedal. Boom. Whew. Okay, 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 okay. All right, all right. All right, Ben. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Ben, I'm going to hold up the back seat. Start pedaling, Ben. Just start pedaling, Ben. Okay, you got the, you got it? You understand it? Okay, now, Ben, I'm going to give you another push. You got to start. Okay, okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Go, go, pedal, 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 pedal. Yeah, 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 boom. Okay, okay, you're doing okay. You're doing all right. You're doing all right. All right, you've only been to Southland 3 times. It's okay, it's okay. We'll do this one more time. We'll do this one more time. Here we go, here we go. Go, man. Go back to Calvary Baptist. Go, 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 go. Pedal, 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 pedal. You got it. Young people, you got to start everyone together. You got to start what? Guys, you got to start pedaling. You cannot live the Christian life on the push from Southland Camp. You got to start pedaling the bike. Young person, you got to start taking steps of faith. Okay, I think I understand the principle. Can you make it a little practical? Oh, yeah, here goes. Start having God nighttime every day. Pedal, guys. Keep memorizing scripture. Pedal, guys. Try not watching so much television. Pedal, guys. Delete something off of your telephone. Pedal, guys. Get an accountability partner. Pedal, guys, or you're going to be back here next year in the same position. You cannot make it on the push of a Christian camp. You have got to start pedaling. You've got to respond in faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. So there's got to be your step. The Holy Spirit is there to help you, guys. I'm going to show you that in just a minute. The Holy Spirit is there to help you, but you've got to take some steps. Are you willing to take responsibility? Are you willing to take a risk? Are you willing to take rejection? Are you willing for someone to come along and rebuke you and reprove you? Are you willing to be all in? Guys, I don't think the Christian life works. If you're going to go, if you're going to put like one foot on the pedal and just, you got to be all in on this. Now, I will tell you the best illustration of all in that I've almost ever seen in my life was the mud pit. Now, you stand there at first, and you go like, oh, man, I don't really want to do this. Now, some of the guys are going, eh. But there's some of you that were going like, I don't really. But you know what? By the end, you were all in. It's like you couldn't get enough mud on you, all right? I mean, you got to get out there. And then, you know, it's for the red team. That's for the blue team. Da-da-da, whatever. By the way, who is going to win today? I just was wondering. Okay. Yeah. You know what? If you could be all in for a stupid team for 6 days, you can be all in for Jesus for the rest of your life, okay? You know what? But I got to tell you, the mud pit is a great illustration because, guys, think about this for just a moment. The way you guys got into pulling the, and you know the best one is when you're down to the last 5 seconds and there's only one inner tube out there. You've got every person from both sides pulling on that thing, you know? I love that moment. You know, it's obvious the inner tube ain't going nowhere, but it's just fun to see you guys slopping around in the mud, pulling with all of your might. Guys, that's a physical fun thing. Take the concept and bring it into your spiritual life. And there's just areas you got to take steps of faith. I don't know what your step of faith is. You know what? Some of your steps of faith, you hear this, is to go back to your church Sunday morning, end of the service. I'm going forward. Pastor, I made a decision at camp to be the man of God God wants me to be. Made a decision at camp about a bitterness in my life, and I just want to become accountable. I want to start being the leader that I'm supposed to be, the man that God wants me to be. And Pastor,
I'm taking a step this morning just to let you know. Gang, that may be your first step of faith. That's going to take something. There's some of you in here that have a testimony that's not all that great. So it's like, God, everyone thinks you're going to have to live above that. You're going to have to take some steps of faith and go like, you know what? That's not me. I'm different. Pastor, I made a decision to be a young lady that I want to be a godly young woman. And Pastor, I need the church to pray for me and I need some accountability. And that's why I came forward this morning. I decided to serve the Lord with all my heart. I surrendered to the ministry and I want the church to pray for me because I'm scared, but I took a step of faith. Pastor, I surrendered to the Lord and I just want to tell you and I want to tell the church. Young person, it may be that step of faith. I just talked about baptism. Some of you are saved and you've never followed the Lord in baptism. Come on, let's take a step of faith. Some of you got some friends back home that are lost and on their way to hell. And some of you need to get out there and start living for others. Young person, you've got to respond with a step of faith. You will never be victorious. You got a number one. Everyone together. Number one, you got a what? Not bad, not bad. Number two, you got a what? You got to respond. Number three, you got to repeat it over and over. You got to repeat it over and over. You got to keep going, man. You got to repeat it over and over. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians 10, and we're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Listen to verses 3 through 5. I believe the platform that Satan builds his strongholds on is a hurt that comes in your life and you never resolved it. And you get that hurt in your life and you never resolve that hurt, and then Satan is able to build a stronghold. So here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to give you the greatest sanctification principle that has helped me in my life, all right? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We heard that yesterday. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. All right, now this next verse is huge. Casting down, everyone together, what's the next word? Casting down. Okay, so the King James translators take that Greek word, and they translate it a couple different ways. Most of the time, that word imaginations is translated conclude, conclude. Therefore, we conclude a man is not justified by the deeds of the law. Romans 3:28. Conclude. I love that word. Imaginations means conclusions. You've concluded a lie. You've concluded, I'll never be victorious. I do good at Southland, but I don't do it. You've concluded the wrong thing. You got to tear down the imaginations, what you've concluded. Okay, casting down. Now, well, Brother Scheller, how do you do it? I hear this all the time. But how do you do it? I'm going to show you. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every... Now, everyone look up. Look here. The next word is the absolute key to the victorious Christian life. If you don't get this, you will never live victorious. I'm going to lead us up to it, then you guys shout it out. Okay, here we go. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Guys, the key to the Christian life is the thought life. You got to have victory in the thought life. Now, let me tell you what happens. Start over here. Thoughts turn to desires. Desires turn to actions. Actions turn to habits. Habits turn to your character. And your character determines your destiny. Now, let me tell you something. It is hard to break habits. It is very difficult to take an action and take it in the right way. It is difficult and hard to overcome the passions and the desires. Therefore, the only way you're going to live the victorious Christian life is in the thought life. You got to take your thoughts into captivity. Greatest spiritual principle that has changed my life. It was the late 1990s. I was watching a VHS, okay? I was watching a video, a guy doing counseling. He said this thing. This is not my own. I heard this from this guy. I can't even know his name. He was a counselor in Colorado Springs. And he talked about this thing called the 4-second principle. And here's what he said. He said, you have got to take your thoughts in 4 seconds. And if you take, so you got a depressive thought, you got a worry thought, you got a pride thought, you got a gossip thought, you got a lust thought, whatever thought it is, it's not good. But finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, think on these things. Okay, so something comes into your mind that isn't that well. Something, either your flesh created it or Satan plants it in, or his little minions put it in your mind, or your flesh brings it up. You got 4 seconds to deal with it. Because young person, lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Well, how long does it take for lust to have babies? 4 seconds. You got 4 seconds to deal with your sin. You got 4 seconds to deal with that depression. You got 4 seconds to deal with that unforgiveness that came back. I got my bitterness taken care of last night, and Brother Scheller, I'm struggling this morning. Okay, I understand it. Believe me, I understand it. You got 4 seconds to deal with it, young person. You take it into captivity and say, no, I'm not thinking on this. You say, okay, well, Brother Scheller, what do you do in those 4 seconds? Oh, I am so glad you asked. You cry out to God. God, help me. Here it comes again. Here comes the lust. Here comes the worry. Here comes the pride. Here comes the depression. Oh, God, here it comes again. Here comes the unforgiveness. God, help me. All right, now you hear this. At the moment you cry out to God, He will give you a step to take. Normally, it is a verse to quote. There is no temptation taken me, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer me to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way escape, that I may be able to bear it. That's a really good verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, because by the time you're done quoting it, I don't even remember what the temptation was. It's a really good one. It really is. It's a good one. But God will give you something to do. God will say, take the remote, turn it off. Get up and walk out of the room. Hang up. Delete it. Delete it right now. Start singing the song. Start praying for your friend right now to be saved. This has nothing to do with my friend. So start praying for your friend to be saved. Start praying for your brother right now. Start praying for your mom and dad right now. Start praying for your best friend right now. Quote this verse. Do this. Guys, listen to me. It's impossible to please God without faith. So if you're ever going to live the victorious life, there's got to be a step of faith. See, I think we're thinking like, will you surrender to the mission field? Oh boy, is this a big... No, no, listen. The Christian life is just taking your thoughts into captivity in 4 seconds. And it comes into your mind, you take it and go, okay, Lord, help me right now. He will show you something to do. And guys, if you follow in obedience, the Holy Spirit will take the temptation away. You see, Brother Scheller, why doesn't the Holy Spirit just take it? Because this is not, he's not like, okay, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Go ahead, just do whatever. God, I give you my body. Go ahead, do whatever. You want to raise my right arm, Lord? It's yours. God, my heart is yours. Whatever you want. Lord, I'm here. I completely surrender. Go ahead, God. Want me to go to lunch? Go ahead, God. Pick up my feet and take me to lunch. It's not going to happen. God wants a relationship with you. He wants to work with you guys. You take your step. He gives you power. He told the people of Israel, Moses said, God, do something. God says, no, you tell the people to go forward to the Red Sea. And when they go forward, then I'll part the Red Sea. Guys, you got to take your step of faith. When they went into the promised land, God says, you tell those priests to step in the Jordan River. Well, it's overflowing. You tell them to step in, and then I'll part the Jordan River. You tell the people of Israel to get into the Red Sea, and when they start walking towards the Red Sea, I'll do my part. Guys, you cannot go home from Southland and not think that you don't have anything to do. You take your step of faith, God will part the Red Sea for you. You will live a victorious Christian life when you begin to take your step of faith. Brother Scheller, do you ever live defeated? Yes! Okay, I fall. Yes, I fail. Yeah, I think some things, but I will tell you this. Never Have I taken the temptation in 4 seconds? God help me. God showed me a step to take, and I've ever in my life taken that step that God didn't give me victory over that temptation. Never in my Christian experience have I ever taken my step of faith that the Holy Spirit didn't do his part. Guys, have you ever been defeated, Brother Scheller? Have you ever had a bad thought? Yes! But that's only because I didn't cry out to God, I didn't take my step of faith, and the Holy Spirit therefore didn't help me. But never have I taken my step that the Holy Spirit didn't give me victory. Are you guys with me on this? This is absolutely critical. Say, Brother Scheller, I don't know if I understand you. Okay, last illustration, guys. This is it. So I heard this pastor one time preach. He was from Daytona. Don't remember his name, don't remember the message, but I'll never forget his closing illustration. He was talking about he had a little six-year-old boy, and he was doing yard work. The father was, the pastor was doing yard work on a Saturday morning, and he brought out the edger, and he's out there, and he's doing the edging along along the sidewalk, and his little six-year-old boy came running out of the house. Daddy, 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 can I do that? No, son, get back. Look at the sparks. Get back. No, the edger's too dangerous. Son, you sit up there on the patio. You can't use that. Daddy, I just want to push the edger. No, it's too dangerous. Son, you sit up on the patio. So he goes, sits on the patio. A little later, Dad brings out the weed eater, you know, and he's doing the weed eating, and he's going around, and he's doing the weed eating, and little boy comes running out. Daddy, 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 can I do the weed eater? Can I do? No, son, get back, son. Look at the string. You got short, son. You can't. No, it's too dangerous. You're not old enough to do the. Daddy, can I just hold the weed eater? No, son. It's too dangerous where you go sit up on the patio. Daddy, I just want to. I know you do, son, but you got to sit up on the patio. You can't use the weed eater. A little bit later, he brings the lawnmower out, and he's pushing the lawnmower, and he's pushing the lawnmower, and the little boy comes running out. And he says, Daddy, 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 no, son, get back. It's shooting out. No, son, you can't use the lawnmower. You can't even reach the handle. Son, it's too big. You can't. Daddy, I just want to push the lawnmower. It's not self-propelled. Son, you can't do it. You just sit up there and watch me. One day you can push the lawnmower. I'll get you a plastic lawnmower, whatever, but you can't use this one. Little boy gets up, and he's all dejected. You know, tough day for him, you know. End of the job, the father's taking all the tools in the shed and cleaning them off and hanging them up. Little boy, like, just worst day of my life, you know, you didn't get to do nothing. The father thought, oh, I got something. Son, go to the driveway and blow off the driveway. There's an electric blower. And the father thought, this is something he could do. He said, go to the driveway and blow off the driveway. You know, he's thinking the blower's there, it's all plugged in, you know, and that type of thing. So he said, you know what, go to the driveway, blow off the driveway. Okay, Daddy, okay. The father finishes cleaning up the tools, he walks out the shed. When he walks out of the shed, he doesn't hear the blower. And he says, you know, my son asked for something to do all day long. I finally give him something to do, and now he doesn't do it. The father comes around the front of the house, and there on all four knees is the little boy. The father says, son, what are you doing? Daddy, I'm blowing off the driveway like you said. The father said, oh, son. Come here. Use this. It's a lot easier. Young person, you guys been coming to Southland for years. You make good decisions every week, and here's what you go back and do. God, I'm trying, Lord. And God is saying, you don't have to. I gave you the Holy Spirit. Turn it on, guys. It's time. This year, there's a difference. Now listen to these 3 points, and then you're going to say them to me. Realize your victory. Respond with your step of faith. And repeat it over and over, guys. Repeat it over and over. Everyone together. Step number one. Step number two. Step number three. Let me give you one more thing. Last year at my Joshua camps, we do 2-week camps. It's Discover Your God, Develop Your Gifts. They're specialty camps. There was a youth pastor there with his wife, and they had a little baby. I preached a very similar message to this, and I had the youth pastor and his wife come see me afterwards. And she gave me a testimony that was just unbelievable. She said, "Hey, that was a good message on victory today. Can I tell you my story?" I said, "Yeah, sure. What you got?" She said, "About 4 years ago, we've been married for about 6 years. About 4 years ago, my husband, my youth pastor husband, wasn't at home a lot. I started getting on the computer." This is the youth pastor's wife. Wife. She said, "I started getting on the computer and I started looking at pornography. I started looking at lesbian pornography. And I got addicted. And I couldn't get off of it. It went on for about 9 months, and one day my husband opened up the computer and I hadn't had a chance to delete everything. And he saw what I'd been looking at." He was, you know, he's standing right there while she's telling me the story. I went, "What in the world? A youth pastor's wife, is got addicted to lesbian pornography." I'm going, okay, this is like the most bizarre thing in the world. She said, "I wanted help and I wanted out. But I knew I couldn't do it on my own. And I knew I needed someone actually besides my husband to help me. So we got counselors, we got a godly woman in the church to help me." And she said, through some different steps, living a victorious life, God gave us a child. And I've never had more freedom and more victory than I experience right now. I'm going, "Girl, what did you do?" And she began to tell me, I said, "Hey, would you do something? Would you write what you just told me on a sheet of paper? And would you allow me to give your testimony?" Obviously, I'm not going to give her her name. I said, "Would you allow me to give you your testimony?" She said, "If it could be used, by all means." This is what she wrote. 4 steps to freedom. Number one, tell somebody. Confide in a spiritual mentor. Someone who will keep checking on you and most importantly, praying with you. Now listen to me. Young person, you guys need to stop thinking of friends and start thinking of partners. You don't need as many friends as you need partners in the faith. And you need to come alongside of each other and you need to pray for each other and you need to help each other. It's not about, "Oh, it's okay you do this. Oh, that's so cute. Oh, this." Hey, it's about being a partner. It's about really being a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Iron sharpeneth iron. So is a man sharpeneth by the countenance of his friends. Tell someone. Number two, kill temptation. 4 second rule. Cut off anything. When I taught the 4 second rule, that's what prompted her to come up to me. She said, "You keep preaching that 4 second thing." Because that's what I did. I had to kill the temptation because the temptations kept on coming. And I had to take those temptations in 4 seconds. She said, "I never heard of the 4 second thing before, but I knew when it came into my mind, I had to take it right away and I had to deal with it." Kill temptation. Cut off anything or anyone that causes you to sin. Your freedom is worth it. Number three, fill up on God. You cannot defeat sin in your own power. Be desperate for God. Read your Bible. Soak it up and pray on purpose every day. And number four, resist, resist, resist. Continue to repeat what you've been doing. Immediately, as soon as the thought of sin enters your mind or heart, immediately beg God to cleanse you, to replace the evil with the good, to help you, and he will. And then she wrote a little thing, and it says, humility is the key, and you got to be humble. Now, young person, I'm going to tell you this. We can fool around with coming to Southland every summer, or we can decide to be all in. I am not asking you to make a lifetime commitment this morning. Brother Shetler, what if I look at pornography on July 15th? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're going to ask God to forgive you. You're going to get back up and you're going to say, "God, it ain't happening again." And you're going to get back up and you're going to ask him to forgive you. Brother Shetler, what if I go a day without having my devotions?
You're going to ask the Lord to forgive you for not having devotions that day, and you're getting up a little earlier the next morning, and you're going to have your devotions. The just man falleth seven times. I am not asking for sinless perfection. I'm asking that you'll be all in, that you'll take responsibility for your life. You're not going to blame it on anyone or anything else. You're going to take responsibility, that you're going to take rejection. Guys, you're going to go back, and there's going to be people who go like, what's the world's going on? You're going to take rejection, and you're going to stand for your Lord. You are going to take reproof. I want to be accountable to my youth group. I want to be accountable to my youth pastor. They can tell me whatever. I'll take reproof. And then you're going to take a risk. You're going to step out in faith. It's the only way to please God. God, I am so scared to do this. This is not my kind of thing. Great. Get out of your comfort zone. Let's start being the men and women God wants us to be. Hey, let's grow up. And it's time for some of you to start growing up. And it's time for you to be all in. Brother Scheller, I really do want to make this decision. I too want to live victorious. I believe Christ rose from the dead. I believe he can give me victory. This is what I want in my life. I realize the victory. I am going to respond with a step of faith. And I'm going to repeat it over and over. I may trip, I may fall. I am all in for Jesus Christ.
And that is victorious Christian living. What a powerful message from Jim Shentler this evening in our conference pulpit for Teen Week. Young person, I trust that you have taken his words to heart. It's time to take responsibility, be accountable to somebody, take the risk, and be all in for Jesus. Perhaps tonight, you don't have a relationship with the Lord. You've never confessed that you're a sinner. You've never received the Lord as your Savior. And if that is the case, we're here to help you right now in this decision for Christ. Simply go to bbnchat.org, bbnchat.org. And as you go to our online chat ministry, you'll get in touch with a biblical advisor. bbnchat.org. Receive Christ as your Savior tonight.
That concludes this online feature. We have an app for your smartphone. Just go to the App Store and download the BBN app free of charge.